Anyway, Exodus, the 25th chapter. What does the book of Exodus mean? What's that name mean? Huh? What, Brother Brett?
I said to get away.
To get away, huh?
Don't get caught.
The way out.
Straighten up the camera.
Look like I'm the Leaning Tower of Pisa there. All right. The way out. Now, all the names of the Bible in the Old Testament, where did they originate? Where did they originate? All the names of the books of the Old Testament, where did they originate? Where did it come from? Where did the names of the books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, where did we get those names? Come on, guys, it's a test. Well, almost. It came from the Greek Septuagint. It did not come from the Hebrew. All right, it came from the Greek Septuagint. Okay. Because Greek was the most common language of the whole world. Koine Greek means what? Universal language. That was a universal language of the whole Middle East and even Europe, Western Europe, all the way through the Middle East was Greek. Koine Greek was the universal language. One of the problems with that movie that came out, The Passion, it was in their own language. It should have been in Greek instead of Aramaic. If they would have been speaking Greek, everybody spoke Greek. They might have spoken some other language at home, but it was Greek in public. Because, what? Well, I don't know. Had some pretty good researchers and everything, but they just got off on the wrong foot on the language of the film. All right, Exodus means the way out. Now, Israel, as you look up here at the map, God has dealt with people differently in different times. And anyway, Exodus 25 and verse number 1. Who is there? Brother Floyd, are you there? Exodus 25 and verse number 1. And Brother Luis, have you got your... Okay. Okay, now let's look at this. Now, who's speaking there, Brother Luis? What's it say there in Hebrew?
Jehovah.
All right. Jehovah. And Jehovah means what? He who shall become. Where is the fulfillment of the Jehovah title in the New Testament? John 1:14. Who can quote it for me in Greek? Dr. John, can you quote that in Greek? Kai hologo starks againito. All right. Kai hologo starks againito. And the Word, the Jehovah, flesh, He became. Simple as that. All right. Now that's who it's talking about here. In the Old Testament, when they brought an offering to Jehovah, all right. Now, in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to John, it talks about the Logos. All right. Now, the Logos means what? Why did that term get started? And right here's where it did. The Word. Who was the Word?
Jehovah.
Now, when Moses gave the law to Israel, he said, "You shall not use the Lord your name, God, in what? In vain." We hear a lot of people cussing all the time, don't we? But they were so afraid to even speak the name of Jehovah, afraid that they would blaspheme God and be forever damned, okay, that they would never speak His name again. When even Pharaoh knew the name of Jehovah, I mean, and it quotes it in Genesis there, we see the name Jehovah used all the time. But after the giving of the law, the name Jehovah was not used by the Jews. That was a sacred name. When they wrote that name on a parchment or scripture, they would use a special pen. If a manuscript, they could make a mistake on any part of the manuscript, and they could erase it and rewrite it. But if you made a mistake when you wrote the name Jehovah, you took and they buried it.
they nullified that manuscript and they buried it. You could never make a mistake with the name of God. Okay? And they referred to him as the name or the word, or what is the Hebrew term? Adonai. All right, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So that's who we're talking about. The Lord spoke to Moses. What does Moses mean? Huh? To draw out. To draw out. All right. To draw out. Moses means to draw out. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel. All right. The sons of Israel. To raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him, and you shall raise my contribution. All right, you have raised. What was this for, by the way? What was this for? Tabernacle. Look over there on that thing there. All right, up on the board up there on the left-hand side, you see where it says the tabernacle. That tabernacle stood for everything about Christ. For everything about him. And we're going to study the seven feasts of Israel in a minute with Zola Levitt, if that thing works. A while ago it had a walleye fit. Anyway, that tabernacle was what they were going to build. Now, it teaches in the Word of God, it says, when the Lord has your heart, he also has your pocketbook, doesn't he? Simple as that. When he's got your heart, he's got your pocketbook. Now, these people, let's see what they did. Number three, Dr. John, are you there on number three? Exodus 25 and number three. Exodus 25 and three.
And this is the offering that you shall take from it, gold, silver, and bronze.
All right, gold, silver, and bronze. Now, every color in the Bible means something, doesn't it? All right? And the metal also means something in the Bible. Okay? What does gold mean? Gold was used a lot in that tabernacle, wasn't it? What's it mean?
Deity.
It stands for deity. Deity. In other words, divine or God. And how about silver? What does silver stand for? Redemption. There's my scholar right over there. See that? I have to muffle her. She'll give you all the answers. Silver is for redemption. Everything around that, pertaining to many of those things, the foundations were silver. Silver. All right? And how about brass or bronze or copper? Same thing. What does it stand for? What? What? Judgment. Judgment. Stands for judgment. Brass stands for judgment. All right. So here we... Now, they're going to give a contribution now. Now, where in the world did they get all this stuff?
From
the Egyptians. The Egyptians were so glad to get rid of them, they just threw everything at them that they could throw at them to get them out of there. All right? They were being plagued. All right. Number four. Number four, Brother David. Exodus 25 and number... Well, we got three of you guys in here. This David over here. That's a common name around here. It means beloved, you know.
And blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair.
All right. Blue and purple and scarlet. What's blue stand for? Not fly. Blue stands for what? Heaven. 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 Blue stands for heaven. And purple. Now, Sister Andina. Royalty. All right. Royalty. And scarlet. What does the scarlet stand for? The dark red color. Blood. All right. Redemption. Okay. And fine linen. What does that fine linen? What color is what fine linen, basically? White. What's that stand for? Look at that fence around the tabernacle there. What's that stand for? Righteousness. Purity. All right. And then goat hair. Goat hair, most of the time, is dark and black. What does that stand for? Huh? Sin. Sin. Commonness. All right? All right. Number five. Number five. Brett, you... Joseph, are you there in Exodus 25 and verse number five?
Okay. We have ram skins dyed red. Ram skins. When Abraham went on up on Mount Moriah, and if you look at Mount Moriah today, where this very place was, what's up there on that place? Mount Moriah, Brother Bill. You're talking about Sinai. All right. What's on top of Mount Moriah today? The Dome of the Rock. All right. The Mosque of Omar. All right. Up there, what was caught in the thicket with by its horns? A ram. Now remember the ram. The ram's horn. What were all the trumpets in the Old Testament made out of? Ram's horns or goat's horns. All right. Ram's horns, basically. And they blew on them, and the trumpets were a sign of what? Pay attention, and also redemption. All right? So when that ram was caught in the thicket by his horns, just think about it. That's the strongest part of a ram. They probably used that to make a horn out of, or a trumpet out of, to blow redemption. And here this lamb, and it's also, the lamb was also, or the ram was the sacrifice. And who did it stand for? Jehovah, that would become flesh and become our redemption. All right. Ram's horns dyed red, and then this what would you call them there, Brother Joseph? No, this, what kind of skins? Okay, and then what other ones? Badger skins. Let's talk about this badger skin. Oh, what's it say there? Porpoise skins or sea cows. It's like seal skins. All right, that's what it was, or porpoise skins. Well, they trading for all this stuff. They traded for, there's always been caravans out there, no matter what. If you look at it, this afternoon, I'm going to be teaching on the book of Revelation. But we're going to talk about the regathering of Israel, and we're going to get into some of this, I believe, in that 10 tribes. But there were trade routes out there. This was not an untraveled area. Don't think this was an untraveled area. And they got porpoise skins or seal skins for this tabernacle. And then it says shittim wood. Shittim wood comes right out of Hebrew. That's the word shittim. And it means acacia wood. Shittim is not translated in your King James Bible. The translation is acacia wood. All right? Acacia wood. And then number six. Let's look at this. Number six. Richard, are you there? All right. We've got olive oil for lighting. All right. Olive oil for lighting. Where did Jesus spend his last evening on this earth before he went to the cross? On the Mount of Olives in the Gethsemane, the olive press. All right? Olive oil. All right? And in that tabernacle in there, when they would light the tabernacle, what kind of fire fuel did they have? From olive oil. When they anointed a priest, what did they anoint the priest with? Olive oil. All right? Olive oil. The doctors tell us today that olive oil is one of the best things that you can use to cook with or whatever, too. Now, spices for anointing oil. All right, spices. They had all these things. What they didn't have, they got. They bought it. All right? And for the fragrant incense. Number seven, Brother Mike. All right, and for the brass plates, onyx stones and setting stones. They must have had stones when they came out of Egypt also, or they could trade for them, regardless. Number eight, Rick, are you over there? No? Brother David. Do you want to read, or? No, okay. Brother David. David, yes. A sanctuary. Or a tabernacle. All right? Revelation 3:20. Go to the book of Revelation.
See, here we have the second book in the Bible, the book of Exodus, the way out, and then Revelation 3 and 20. Let's look at this. And let them construct a sanctuary, a dwelling place for me, a skene. Our word skin comes from that, which means skene is tabernacle also. Revelation, are you there, Brett?
Yeah.
All right.
3
and verse 20.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him, and I will sup with him, and he will be with him.
All right, who's he talking to there? Who's talking, first of all? Let's biblical interpretation. Who's speaking? The Lord himself is speaking. Who's he speaking to now? To the church. The tabernacle there is the type of the church and the church age we live in today. All right? Type of the church and the church age today. The Lord said he wanted to dwell with his people. All right? When you're born again, the old spirit of the Adamic nature is exed out, and the Spirit of God comes in your life and your entity, and that Spirit of God brands you. Evelyn, your daddy played around up there on the Tone Ranch and everything when he was young, didn't he? And they branded marked cattle. Cattle have marks on them. They will mark their ears, and they will mark different things. They'll just mark them in different ways, and they brand them also. Okay, they brand them also. God marks us, brands us indelibly with his Spirit forever when we are born again. We are branded, we are marked for redemption forever. All right? I want to build a sanctuary, he says, so that I can dwell among my people. God wanted to be with Israel. Now, after that sanctuary was built, all put together there, what happened? What happened? After it was all built. The Shekinah glory, the presence of God, came down and literally immersed that tabernacle with the presence of God, and it stood over the mercy seat. The mercy seat. The mercy seat was the kafar in Hebrew. Well, klipse in Greek is a covering, but the word in 1 John 2 and 2, go to 1 John 2 and 2. That word is really good in Greek because it tells you, 1 John 2 and 2. That Shekinah glory stood over the mercy seat there. All right. Brother Bill, are you there? Okay. All right. That word propitiation is helosmos or helosterion, and it means the mercy seat. That comes from the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. All right. He is the what? The propitiation. That's the place where all the sins were covered, right there, over there. Right there on the Ark of the Covenant on the mercy seat. All right, for the whole cosmos. All right, the Lord Jesus Christ bought the whole cosmos back. All right, that I may dwell among them. Very beautiful. Verse number 9, Brother David Reimer, are you there? Yes.
According to all that I showed thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it.
All right. According to all that I am going to show you, he was going to show it to him. All right? Show it. Point it out. Okay? As the pattern of the tabernacle. Now, the word pattern, we get our word typewriter from that. Did you know that? Typewriter. It comes from Greek word typos. We get the word type from it. That tabernacle was a type. Everything that happened in that tabernacle, all of these offerings was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, or a type of his assembly to come. All right. But we studied that a lot Wednesday night, didn't we, Brother Bill? When Jesus went in his triumphant entry, when they raised, you know, they waved the palm branches and everything, the Bible said, and by the way, that was prophesied in the book of Daniel, the very day was prophesied when he would do that. All of these were foundation figures, dates, okay? It said exactly what day he would come in there,
And he went into Jerusalem, and they accepted him. They said, Hosanna. And all right, Jehovah means what? He who shall become. All right, this is the one. This is the Messiah. All right, the word Joshua in the Old Testament is Yeshua. When they say Messiah, Hashemiah. It's talking about the Messiah. And Joshua was a type of the Messiah. Joshua did what? He led Israel into the Promised Land. Now, Jesus went into the temple area that day. What was so important about the day that he entered into Jerusalem on the donkey? All right? A donkey. Now, that was all prophesied. It was prophesied that he would ride in on a donkey that had never been ridden before and all of this. The king of Israel would always rode donkeys. Okay? When he rode into there, what did he do in the temple area? Not in the temple itself, but in the temple area. What did he do when he went in there? He went into the place where the money changers were. All right? And the money changers had benches set up in there. Benches. The word bank in English comes from this word, bench. Okay? In the pagan temples, thousands of years ago in pagan temples, this was before, you know, outside of Israel, all right, this was in the pagan temples of the Greek gods and the Roman temples and everything else. They had a bench set up there. And they had a priest designated as a banker, a bench keeper. All right? And you could take your money and you could put your money in the temple of Apollos or Aphrodite or Diana or Jupiter or whatever, and you could put money in that bank at that bench. Okay? And you would get interest, and when you wanted your money, you could come and get your money back. Now, this is very important, what I'm saying. This is the word, this is the history of the word bank. Okay? When Jesus came in there, he went to those banks, bankers in there. And if you were in a pagan religion, if you were the priest that was appointed as a banker, and you blew it, and you were an embezzler, what happened to you? Well, they went in there and they would publicly break the bench, and they would publicly lash or whip those bankers, and they would say that they were bankrupt. That's where the word bankrupt comes from. Okay? And they would take away all their authority, and later on they would take them out and crucify them. It was a death penalty. Now, when Jesus walked into Israel, he told Israel, as a religion, you are bankrupt. What did he do? He made a whip. And he publicly whipped what? The money changers. Who was the money changers' boss? Who was the money changers' boss? The high priest. Basically, he was whipping all of them and castigating them and saying, you are bankrupt. All of your whole religion, your whole religious system is bankrupt. All right? And he took it over from them. Because who was he? The king was now on his throne. The king was on his throne. That's what so many people miss. The king was now on his throne. He was the king of Israel. What did they accuse Jesus of doing? Huh? No. What did Pontius Pilate ask him? Are you what? The king of the Jews. What did he say? You said it. And what he said, you said it. That's what he said. Literally, you said it. He said, I am the king of the Jews. But he said, my kingdom is what? Not of this world. He was the king of the Jews. On his cross, when they put up there, they had to put his crime. They said, Jesus of Nazareth, what? King of the Jews. All right, so there he was. The king came into Israel. The king. Thank you, Brother Mike. Sergeant Arms we have there. The king had come into Jerusalem. He rode in on the donkey, just exactly like the Old Testament said he would. He took it over. He told them, you are bankrupt. A common occurrence back then. It happens now and then. They knew exactly what he did when he made the whip and he beat the tar out of them. He turned over their benches. He broke their benches. He said, "You are bankrupt. Your religion is bankrupt." And he took over his throne. And then what did they do to him? What did they do to the unworthy priest in the pagan religions? They executed him. Later on, they crucified him. All right. What did they do to the king of Israel? They crucified the king. The guilty went free, didn't they? All right. Now, when Israel was calling for the crucifixion of Jesus, what did they say? He says, "Who shall I?" You know, this is the jubilee. Let's let someone go. Let's let the scapegoat go. You know, you have a scapegoat. Let's let the scapegoat go. Now, you say Jesus, I've already beat him almost to death. Okay? Now, who do you want me to turn loose? And there was 2 prisoners there. Well, there's actually 4 prisoners altogether. All right? There was Barabbas, and there was his 2 cohorts, which were out killing people, and they were bank robbers. I mean, robbers is what they were. They were highwaymen. They were murderers and killers. They were not just thieves. They were murderers and killers. All right? And who was the gang leader? Barabbas. What does Barabbas mean? What does Barabbas mean? Son of the Father. Who was his father? The devil. His father was the devil. All right? He was the guilty one. So who did they say turn loose on us? Barabbas, which is the type of them, which is the type of us. And Jesus was crucified, and the guilty were turned free, and the innocent was crucified. Brother Rex. Well, the bad guy was Barabbas. He had killed a lot of people. He was probably the one that almost killed the guy on the road to Jericho down there where the Samaritan came and saved him. He was one of the guys that was doing this. They'd kill women and children and all, take everything they had and leave them out there to die. That's Barabbas. All right. Thank you for your attention today. I hope you're learning something from the film. We'll go on with it a little bit next week. We'll teach half the class, and I'll give you half of the class so you can go into the next feast so you can understand this a little better. Did you learn something? All right. Thank you for all of our guests for being here today. And Evelyn and Rick, hope you come back again. And thank you for being here. And Brother David, I'm going to turn it over to you.